doth God execute his decrees? God executeth his decrees in the works of creation and providence.
In Shorter Catechism, question 8, we come to the execution of God's decrees. And we saw last time that we're asking the question, who is in control? And we're demonstrating that God has a plan, and that that plan he brings to pass perfectly. It all begins in the mind of God, and it works its way out in the history of the world. God has designed it, and God does it. So in the works, or in the execution of his decrees, we're reminded that God has determined both the means and the ends. So it's a package deal, both the means and the ends. He's appointed both of these things. His acts he performs, and his events he brings about. And we see the summary of this in two things, the works of creation and providence. Let me begin by saying we sometimes refer to three books of God, if you will. Creation, providence, and redemption. These are three different aspects of the works of God, and we'll seek to break that down a little further here in just a moment. The Catechism is summarizing everything under two heads, namely creation and providence. In creation, he brought something to pass without means. Now, there's a whole question or two devoted to the doctrine of creation, but we'll just note here that God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing. He didn't take something that already existed and then turn it into something that didn't exist. So, children, think of the difference between mama going into the pantry and pulling out flour and sugar and baking soda, whatever else, eggs out of the fridge. She takes these things that already exist and then she mixes them together and makes you a cake, sticks it in the oven and bakes it, right? Well, there wasn't a cake before she started, and when she's done, there is a delicious cake for you to eat. But she created that out of something. Whereas when God created the whole universe, he created it out of nothing. He didn't use means in order to bring this to pass. In providence, he accomplishes his purpose with means. Maybe we should make clear what we mean by means and ends. Means refers to the way or the instrument through which he makes something happen. So if you're going to come to the church building, one of the means of getting here would be to drive your car. Another means of getting here would be to ride your bike. Another means of getting here would be to walk. Right? These are different ways, different means. But the end would be the same each time you end up at the church building. So God determines not only the end, not only the thing that he's going to do ultimately in a given situation, but all of the details that are included in bringing that thing to pass. So in Acts chapter 4, in reference to the death of the Lord Jesus, the most important event in the history of the world, what do we discover? In John 4, it says in verse 27, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." The cross wasn't an accident. It's not as if every man has free will. People do all the things that they want to do, and then God, you know, just hopes that Christ will die upon the cross, or thinks that it's possible that Christ might die on the cross. No, he determined it. It says, "To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. That's the end, Christ dying on the cross. But also the means. He used Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Jews and so on. The same thing can be seen at the end of the book of Acts, where Paul's on a ship and they're going into a storm and the ship's going to break apart. And the sailors are terrified. And Paul says, everybody on the ship's going to be saved. Some of them think about jumping overboard. And he says, no, everybody has to stay on the ship. So the end is that you're going to be saved. But God also appoints the means. They had to stay on the ship. And they did stay on the ship, which means that they were ultimately saved. We could give other examples of the same thing. God is pleased in his providence to use both means as well as ends. Now, when we speak about God executing something, it means what God designed, God does. When he executes his decrees, what he's designed to do, he in fact does. And when we think about the work of providence, there are two aspects. There's the general, and there's the special. Now, these are just words that are supposed to be helpful to us. When we speak about God's general providence, we're talking about everything that happens in everyday life throughout the history of the world to everybody. When we talk about God's special work of providence, we're talking about redemption or the salvation of his people. So this is a special work of providence that God is bringing to pass. So when we think in terms of the salvation of God's people, how is it that anyone is ultimately saved? Only because God has executed his work. He has executed his decrees in the work of his special providence. God chooses a people for himself, and God comes to apply the salvation that he's purchased to them and ensures that they'll be saved. So that when Jesus dies on the cross, he's not just dying so that it's possible that some may be saved, but he's actually dying in order to secure and guarantee the salvation of his people, to purchase their salvation, to actually redeem them so that it is brought to pass according to his own will. So can the decree of God be defeated? Can the plan of God fail? Can God become frustrated by not getting what he wants or things being accomplished as he wants? And the answer is no. God's decree can't be defeated. His plan can't fail. God is never frustrated with anything. His good purposes always come to pass as he has designed them. Now, this we see this sometimes in our own experience, the encouragement that it brings. We may be driving down the road and we're almost in an accident. And what do we realize when we come out of it safely? The Lord was protecting us. The Lord's the one who preserved us. It wasn't his will. There are people who come to the brink of death and almost die. And the Christian has to say, well, it wasn't my appointed time. God had determined that it wasn't the time for me to leave this world. And there are many exciting examples of this in church history. Alexander Peden, one of the Scottish Covenanters, was being chased by the dragoons, and he was on an open slope, an open hill, and he was running away from them. They were gaining ground on him. He was a faithful minister and preacher of the gospel, and he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, help me, hide me under your wing, as it were, deliver me out of the destruction of your enemies. And a mist blew in and engulfed that entire area, so that the dragoons couldn't see him. And they're like going around in the fog, unable to see anything. And he was able to escape. It was God's kind providence, wasn't it, that preserved him. So for the Christian, we have confidence God is executing His decrees in the works of creation and providence, we have a great deal of security in God. All of His promises are sure, and all of His people are safe with the Lord. We know that His will is being accomplished for His own glory. And so both in the created world that we see and in the history of the world, God is the one who is bringing His perfect plan to pass. Which is why the Catechism says, how doth God execute His decrees? God executeth His decrees in the works of creation and providence.